What is up, everybody? Welcome back to the Dudes Who Bet Sports Show. We are back and we are ready to rock for another show here. We're doing it a day early. Got to go to Keeneland tomorrow, so got to make that drive tomorrow. So we got to get this one done today. All right, Poppy, dude, we got a lot going on. We got a lot to talk about. I'll go ahead and throw up the two games for the Final Four. But first, I just want to get your overall impressions on the final or their March Madness, I should say, and what's happened with that.
I've been really excited about the whole time. I think it's been a good tournament. It's been a long time since I've seen the women's tournament get so much coverage this year. I think it is, maybe this could be dumb, but overshadowing the men's maybe a little bit because of the teams that are involved and Caitlin Clark in her amazing run through all this. I just, the other night when they played LSU, that was must-see TV for me. I was riveted to the TV. And I think, the Final Four for the men's, we've got two good matchups and we got two marquee teams still alive. So I think it's going to be a great weekend if you like college basketball.
Yeah. No, I agree. I thought the women's basketball was very good. I thought the men's was very good as well. I think we didn't get those first round upsets or second round upsets like we usually do. We got a few, but man, the Sweet 16 Elite Eight has been pretty unpredictable in my opinion. And you kind of see it. You got the two number one seeds, and then you got these four seed and 11 seeds. So it kind of shows you there that, yeah, that we were able to get North Carolina State and Alabama through two teams I don't think anybody thought would get through when we started this thing.
So at the end of the day, we have two that should have. And like you said, we've got your huge upset team in North Carolina State, which we seem to always have an 8, a 9, a 10, 7, something like that in there. And Alabama's a 4. So, yes, they had to win a game to get there. But a 4 is pretty solid, and they have played great. So I think it's two intriguing matchups for sure.
You mentioned that women's game. The Iowa-LSU game draws 13.2 million people to watch that game. That makes me happy. That was a game they set that up for sure to be an Elite Eight matchup, and it was awesome. And you're right. I mean, Caitlin Clark plays a great game and just could not miss. She was shooting threes from everywhere. She played fantastic. And I didn't think LSU played that bad, but they just weren't going to beat them. They just played too darn good. That was so fun. I thought that was one of the better games of the year.
It was. That first half was unbelievable. 45-45, just back and forth. And then she came out and hit, four threes. And they're really what I call four-pointers because she's shooting them from 30 feet. Yeah. And they put up – and I didn't catch the percentages, but they put up a graphic of how many of those threes are from 26 feet or further out.
Yeah.
And it was an amazing total. And that's – she is just so hard to guard.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It is. There was one, I can't remember if it's in the third or fourth quarter. It's either late third, early fourth quarter. She came off a screen.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a real clean screen. And she basically just had to kind of one hand a three-pointer and just nothing but net with one hand. And I'm just like, yeah, they're not going to beat them.
Well, no.
I mean, it's just not going to happen.
Everybody, we all can see her ability offensively to shoot the ball. She is a tremendous passer, and she's physical. She gets a lot of rebounds as well. She is the real deal, and anybody that doesn't think she is nuts. She is a tremendous basketball player. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was awesome to watch her. And like I said, just bombing them left and right. So hopefully they can keep it going. I know they're going to be it's going to be tough because they got UConn next. And then if they win, they're going to have to play South Carolina.
Yeah.
So it's not going to get any easier for them.
No.
All right. Well, let's get to the men's side of it here. We'll preview the women's. We got a little bit of time. We'll do it next. Let's go to the men's first, though. North Carolina State, Purdue will kick us off on Saturday, 5 o'clock on TBS, 5 o'clock Central, that is. Purdue, an 8.5-point favorite here. North Carolina State, the Cinderellas, we kind of doubted them against Duke. They still were able to win. Yeah. What do you think? Does the Cinderella story continue for North Carolina State?
Well, you know, they handled Duke pretty easy. They did.
They killed them, really.
They thumped them. And
yeah,
they've won 9 in a row. Every single game in the ACC tournament, they had to play a play-in game. They had to win 5 games in 5 nights. And if they didn't, they weren't going to make the tournament. So they're pressure tested. I mean, you got to win 5 in 5 nights to make the tournament, and you do. And then they've come out and won 4 more impressively. Why can't they beat them? You know, I don't think they will, because I have been immensely impressed with Purdue. Mm-hmm. I thought they played extremely well in their game to get here. The pressure has not gotten to them at all. Edie was fantastic. That Purdue-Tennessee game was really a classic.
It was great. And like Kevin B said, for a long time, it felt like Tennessee might get them. But Purdue was just too darn good. I mean, and for as much as we've kind of, you know, in the past had to criticize Purdue, they've came through in big moments in this tournament.
He just was great. And they've got guys this year that can hit the three. And that's been kind of a weakness they've had over the years. And this year, they're offensively, they're really good. And they've been more of a defensive team. And when you're, you know, you don't have that consistent scoring, you can get beat. But Edie was so good, and he made a ton of free throws. And I thought he got the calls. I thought he got some calls, but doesn't matter.
Yeah.
He was fantastic. He just plays. That's what I like about him. He doesn't show any emotion. He just plays. And you got to like that about a guy. He's one of those guys that in today's NBA game, I'm not sure he's going to excel in the NBA because they don't play that style anymore. You look at the big men in the NBA, they shoot the three ball. They play out on the perimeter, and he can't do that. So it's going to be interesting to see what his NBA career is like. He'll have a solid career. Not a star, I don't think, because he's not mobile enough in today's NBA game. So back to this game. I'm going to take I haven't decided yet. It's only – well, they play tomorrow. No, they don't play on Saturday.
Saturday.
I've got a few days to think about this. I don't like the line on either one of these. I just keep waiting for North Carolina State to crack. But let's talk about their big guy for a minute.
Yeah.
I thought he was a clown. He's not. He has been tremendous. And we were watching these games together, and both of us were saying, we can't wait till this matchup between these two big guys. It's going to be fascinating to watch. Right now, I'm leaning towards North Carolina State to beat the spread, but I don't think they're going to win. But 8.5 is a lot for a team that's playing so darn good, you know?
I kind of like North Carolina State in the points. I'm with you on that. I don't know that they're going to win this game because I do think the key to the whole thing is Purdue has shot really well. And when you double and triple Edie, they'll just kick it out and they're making the shots, right? So as long as that continues, I think they're in a really good spot. I think Purdue will ultimately win the game, but 8.5 is a lot, especially when it's a North Carolina State team that just keeps playing well. So
they're not intimidated.
They're not. So I'm going to go NC State plus the 8.5. I think it's the right play.
At this point, I am too. The North Carolina State big guy, the key is going to be, can he stay out of foul trouble? Can he keep from getting in foul trouble? Because I don't know how deep they are after that. He's going to have his hands full with Edie.
Yeah.
You got to push Edie out as far as you can get him. If he gets down on that block, you're in big trouble. You got to push him up above it. And how do you do that?
Yeah.
You know, this guy's big enough to do it, but I don't know if he can keep from fouling him. And I think that's the key. He will give Edie some problems too. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I'm with you right now. I'm leaning North Carolina State plus the points.
Yeah, I'm with you here. I think it's going to be a very interesting game between these two. I still think Purdue will be able to beat them. I think it'll be a similar game to Tennessee. I think it'll be back and forth for a while. We'll see, though. I mean, it's hard to go against Purdue as far as the straight win right now. They've played very well in tournament.
They're very, very good.
Well, speaking of being very, very good, let's go to the next game. UConn and Alabama. UConn is just steamrolling people. Everybody. It's unbelievable. They get Alabama here, a surprise team, a great tournament for Alabama, but now they have to go up against Connecticut. Connecticut's 11.5-point favorite in the Final Four. It just shows you what they've been able to do. What do you think? I mean, can Alabama challenge them? Can Alabama maybe even – can they just cover? I'm not sure.
What UConn did to Illinois was they went on a 30-0 run, I think. Illinois was ahead whenever they went on this run.
Well, and let's be clear. Illinois is a team most of us, if you're in the chat right now, and especially you and I, we're like, they are really good. Yeah. And UConn destroyed them.
It was like 23-22. Mm-hmm. And UConn had got off to a pretty good lead, and Illinois had come back and taken the lead, had all the momentum, and they go on a 30-0 run. Who does that? That's just unheard of, much less go against an Illinois team and do that to them.
Yeah.
So I've been waiting for them to I picked Illinois. That was, I thought, because the spread in that one was like 7.5, 8.5, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I've been waiting for them to have a close game. The thing with Alabama is they have to shoot well.
Yeah.
They've got to shoot well. And they rely on those threes so much. I just don't think UConn's going to let them get up and down the floor. I just don't think they are. But my God, a Final Four game, you're going to pick somebody to cover 11.5? That's hard to do.
Yeah.
But they've done it in every game so far. They are so good on defense. They just destroyed Illinois defensively. Mm-hmm. They just clamped them down and they couldn't do anything.
Yep.
So I have to take Connecticut, I think.
I do. Yeah.
But I'm scared too.
Well, I'm not. I think with Connecticut, you just take them no matter what the spread is right now. Just take them. I mean,
they're incredible.
I know on Sunday you're like, I don't know. I think I'm thinking about making Illinois a best bet. And I said, don't do that because I get it. Like I get this. Like, hey, no, I really like Illinois and I'm getting 8.5 points. I think that's what it was or 9.
Yeah.
And
I think it was 8.5. Yeah.
Yeah. And I said, I get it, but this Connecticut team and even getting a game out of it. I mean, they're not even getting scared at all. And like I said, Illinois started off, and it's like, okay, they're playing all right. And then the next thing you know, it's like 50-20.
Yes.
It's crazy.
You know, and it's just a snap of a finger. They went, I don't know how many minutes without scoring.
I know.
Yep. They didn't get a good shot most of the time.
I know. It was crazy.
It's going to be interesting because Alabama can flat score.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see what they do, but – when's the last time you've seen a team play 4 games in this tournament and haven't had any scare whatsoever?
Yeah. I mean, last year when Connecticut got on a roll, they didn't really have a scare either. But if I remember right, it was their first game or maybe their second game. They didn't play very well.
Yeah.
But then after that, they just dominated teams. And I get it. Like, you know, like Rob said, things can happen for sure, but I don't see Alabama being the one to do it.
I don't either, but God, 11.5 in the Final Four. Mm-hmm. It's just so scary to pick that. You know, the UConn men have taken over from the UConn women. This is what the spread used to be for UConn women games in the Final Four.
Yep. I know.
And by the way, they're in there again. So,
we'll talk about them in just a second. So, Purdue, Connecticut, I think we both think that's going to be the final game.
A fabulous game.
I would guess it's going to be like, God, this is a total guess, like 3.5, 4.5 point spread towards UConn.
Okay, let's say UConn kills Alabama by 20.
Yeah.
And Purdue wins by 2. I could see it being 9 or 10. I really could.
I don't think it'll be that much.
It may not.
It's 2 number one seeds. I think it'll be about 3, 4, 5 range is how I would think.
I think we all want to see it.
Let's say it's 4. Who are you taking, UConn, Purdue, if UConn's minus 4?
If they're only 4. It depends on what happens Saturday. But sitting here right now, I got to take UConn if it's 4.
Yeah. So the look-ahead line says 3.5. I don't know that it settles at 3.5. I really think it'll go a little higher. Depending on what happens. But
Saturday.
I'm kind of with you. Like, I think I would still take Connecticut if that's the line.
Well, you about have to. But what a game that would be. I mean.
Oh, yeah.
These two teams have done everything they're supposed to do. And UConn's place, they've done a little bit more than they're supposed to do. But Purdue, with the pressure they have on them and everything, that Tennessee game, they could have wilted.
Yeah.
But they didn't. And they just made big shots. And, you know, he's not a great free throw shooter, but he made enough of them. He mm-hmm. made enough of them. Mm-hmm. So I'm with Curtis. I hope, you know, I don't have any preference whatsoever. None of these are on my favorite list. Mm-hmm. I like Purdue to get in there for Rob's sake. I don't care about the other one at all.
Yeah.
But it's going to be, it's going to be a classic if they can get in there.
I hope Purdue wins it I think that'd be cool that they get it done. I'm rooting for Purdue to win it. I don't think they're going to because really, if not for Connecticut, I think they would. I mean, I definitely think Purdue's the second best team. I definitely think Purdue can beat them, but it's just hard to go against Connecticut. You watch these other games, and then you watch their game. It reminds me of when Alabama football went on that roll where you just watch their games and you're like, well, of course, I see now why nobody can beat them. They're just better. Yeah. Than everybody else. And that's Connecticut to me. Like they just look a lot better than these other teams.
I agree. And it's they made believers out of me. But you know, about 6 weeks ago, Creighton beat them by 22 points. So
that can happen though. Yeah. I mean, that can happen.
Yeah, not likely though.
All right, let's go to the NCAA women's basketball tournament and we'll go over these just quickly here. We do have lines for these as well. And some familiar names, North Carolina State and UConn, both in this one as well. Let's start with this one, North Carolina State and South Carolina. South Carolina minus 11.5 here. South Carolina is 36-0. They have been dominant this season. What do you think? North Carolina State, not quite the Cinderella story. They probably think they should have been here and they are. But can they pull off a big upset here?
Now they're the forgotten team in this four teams. They are, no one's talking about them. I'm going to look real quick here. Hang on just a second to see. They're 31-6. I'm not sure they even won the ACC. Let me look here real quick. They did not win the ACC.
Right.
At 31-6, they finished second. I would have never guessed. Virginia Tech won the ACC. I would have never guessed that in a million years. But they're playing extremely well. South Carolina's had a scare or two in this. You and I were watching the other day, and Indiana took them to the limit. And that was in the round of 32, I believe. They almost got knocked out. It was to get to the Sweet 16, and they bounced back and been pretty steady since. I got to be honest, I've not seen North Carolina State hardly at all. But I have seen South Carolina, and they are very, very talented. I think that line's too much. They've not been dominating like they have in the past. I'm going to go with NC State. 11.5 is a bunch, and they're 31-6. This is a good team. Because the ACC is pretty good in women's, and they're 31-6. I'm going to – that to me is more bettable than the UConn game, to me. It is.
Right. Alabama, UConn. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll go South Carolina. I think they'll dominate them. Now, this is the interesting one, and this out of the four games we're going to talk about, this is the most narrow line, and it should be UConn and Iowa. Iowa's a 2.5-point favorite. UConn has gotten the best of Caitlin Clark in the past. I don't know. This is interesting to me because last year I made a lot of money on LSU because Iowa was overbet because of Caitlin Clark. And it wasn't so much that I hate Iowa or Caitlin Clark. It was just like, yeah, they're a bit a favorite against LSU and they shouldn't be. Here they are a favorite against UConn. Is it a similar situation where this probably should be a little bit different of a spread, but Iowa's taking money because it's Iowa and Caitlin Clark?
Yeah, maybe. Look at the ticket prices, $314. I've never noticed it before, but I'm willing to guess this is the highest ticket price for a Final Four women's game in history. I'm just going to guess that.
I would think.
Yeah. That's
I've never seen them that high. No.
No. So notice also which game is the late game. It's this one. This is the game everybody wants to see.
Yeah.
And UConn is not as good as they have been. They're not. But they're UConn, and it's kind of like Alabama in football or Georgia now. It's like it doesn't matter. They're look who they are. They got the best coach maybe that's ever lived in the women's basketball for sure.
Yeah.
Saw his record the other night. I think he's won 88% of his games. That's incredible. The run he's had is just incredible. They're the one team you don't want to play.
Yeah. Them
in South Carolina. You don't want to play them. Iowa had to beat, if they win the national championship, they would have had to beat the defending national championship champions in LSU. UConn is won like 11.
Yep.
And then turn right around and beat South Carolina in the course of what? 5 days, 6 days, something like that?
Crazy.
I'd love to see it happen. I would. I'd love to see it happen. I do think they're going to beat UConn. I think they're going to beat them. Now, Geno is going to come up with something. But Geno doesn't have the studs he's had in the past. I was talking to my brother today who follows the women's game because of his daughters. Much more than we do because they love basketball. So they follow the women's game. He thinks this is the best job of coaching Geno's ever done. And I value his opinion because he watches a lot of it. And I was watching him the other night against USC. I think USC was better, but UConn won because they're UConn. I think I was going to win it. I don't think you can stop this girl. I don't.
I lean Iowa as well. I do. I lean Iowa as well. I don't think they're winning the whole thing. I think they're going to make the national championship, though. I think they'll beat them this time. I'm kind of with Mark a little bit after watching them against LSU, and maybe that was the big revenge game, and maybe I don't think they'll let down really, but maybe they won't play quite as good because how could you? But it does kind of feel a little bit like okay, I was on a mission this year to get there. So
yeah,
and you kind of. We'll talk about it now. South Carolina, Iowa.
Ooh.
South Carolina has some scares for sure, but I kind of feel like they're still the team that'll beat Iowa in the end.
Yeah, they're 36-0.
Yeah, feel like Iowa won't be able to beat them, and it's because nobody can beat them.
No. With South Carolina, they got a tremendous amount of pressure on them. If they get to that championship game, I think that eases off of them a little bit too. So, yeah, I just think they're a little bit better than Iowa. And I think this game is at 2 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. I saw that. Ugh. And I thought, that's weird.
Let's see. Yeah, 2 o'clock. 2 o'clock Central.
That's a terrible time to have That should be on at night. And I'm telling you,
yeah,
ratings would be through the roof if Caitlin Clark gets there.
Yeah.
Of course, this was decided long before, you know, they made, you know, tournament started and everything. But that's an odd time to have a championship.
No, I honestly think Kevin B's right, because I was in an airport in the afternoon last year watching the national championship game.
Okay.
So they did change that at least last year, because I was gone during the week, during that weekend, and I remember watching Saturday night or Friday night, and then Sunday that was the championship game. Yeah,
yeah. Well, in the last few years, I've become a women's college basketball fan. I do enjoy watching the women's game. Good teams. I do enjoy watching it because it's more of a team oriented game than the men's game. Mm-hmm. To me, the other night, that was must-see TV. I just was riveted to the TV.
It was a better game than most of the men's games. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was just interesting. And of course, you got Mulkey over there going crazy, and you got, you know, LSU's meaner, and you know, they get after you. It was just interesting. Yeah. This is must-see TV for me Friday night. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to miss this. I can't wait. I'm ready to watch it. I think it's going to be awesome. So I'm going to go with the Wolfpack. You're going to South Carolina in that game in the points. And then I'm not going North Carolina State to win, but I'm going to go with them to cover. And then I'm going to go Iowa to go ahead and win by 2.5.
Okay. All right. It should be good. All these games, I think, will be interesting, because you do have the Purdue situation. Can they make it? Or the North Carolina State situations, can that they do what they did in 1983? Can they do that again? And honestly, if it's North Carolina State, UConn, it'll feel a whole lot like 1983, because they were, even though they made it all that far, they had to take down a tremendous basketball team to win that national championship, and it'd be the same kind of thing. So that storyline is there as well. So it could be really good. And an incredible weekend. You got this basketball, and then you got the three horse races on Saturday. You got WrestleMania, which is a major, major thing as well, Saturday and Sunday as well. So it is.
Hey, I tell you,
it's loaded. Another,
I know it's much lesser. It doesn't mean anything. And it's. I'm going to say this because I bet this team three times, and they've won cash all three times. Mm-hmm. Another fun team to watch is Indiana State in the NIT. Mm-hmm. They've made it to the championship. They are super fun to watch. I don't know. Is that final game in Indianapolis?
I believe so. I believe that game.
I think so. It used to be in Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, it's not anymore.
Just click on NC.
Let me pull up.
I think it's like on Tuesday.
The final game is. Oh, is it tonight? Yeah, Thursday. It's. Oh, no. We're not doing it Thursday this week. We're doing it Wednesday. So it'll be tomorrow night. Yeah.
This is going to be a really good game. I've watched it mainly because I bet it, but I've really become a big fan in them. Mm-hmm. They're 32-6. Here's a team that should have been in the tournament. They got screwed, but instead of pouting about it, they've just come out and kicked everybody's butt. And, so if you don't have anything to do tomorrow night, this is a game that's fun to watch. It'll be a really good game. Seton Hall's playing well too. But that place will be jammed to the rafters with Indiana State fans.
Yeah,
it's not very far to get there.
Yeah,
home court.
I like the building now, like playing it at Hinkle instead of at Madison Square Garden. Yeah. I like that.
That's cool. That's a good idea.
I don't know if the players necessarily would rather do that, but I think as kind of a basketball fan, it's kind of cool to have it there. So I don't, and that's another one. I'm not sure when they started doing that, but
I think this is the first year. I thought they played in Madison Square Garden.
I think so too. I don't remember it being there last year, but it could have been here last year. I'm not sure. But anyway, I have watched it this year, and Indiana State, I think it's sad that teams like this don't make the Big Dance, because they're interesting, right?
Yes.
There's so many teams in it that just aren't, but they are. They're an interesting team. So
32 wins. Here's an interesting thing though that I've always wondered. Was it better to make the NCAA tournament and lose in one game or go all the way to the finals of the NIT? Money-wise, it's better to make the tournament because you get a big paycheck if you make the tournament.
Yeah, I was always like, I don't care about the NIT type of thing. But then, when you really start to follow it and you're like, well, you know what? Some of these teams are better than who made the tournament. But, yeah. I mean, it's better to make the tournament. Because the bottom line is, people outside of Indiana State's bubble, they're not going to remember this.
They don't even know they're playing.
No. Now, to be fair, they probably wouldn't remember that they got beat in the first round of the tournament either. No. But no. I don't know.
I've always thought this too. We've talked about it before, and we won't spend just a second on it. North Dakota State in football has talked about going D1.
Mm-hmm.
Well, do you want to go D1? And have no chance to ever win a national championship. You don't. South Dakota State as well.
Mm-hmm.
Or do you want to stay right where you are and win national championships or have a chance to win national championships? It's a no-brainer for me. You stay right where you are.
Mm-hmm.
You go D1, I don't care how good you are or where you're at right now, you're not going to win a national championship at North Dakota State or South Dakota State. You stay right where at the level you are now, and you go through those playoffs, why would you want to go bigger? I don't think you should.
Yeah. Dennis says, let's get an exhibition for charity or whatever. Indiana State versus Virginia. Let's not. I've seen enough of Virginia basketball to last me a lifetime.
I think Indiana State would kill them.
I never want to see this current Virginia basketball team play ever again. They were one of the worst teams to watch ever. They set basketball back 100 years. Those games were awful. I remember you bet them one day and I watched them and it was like 49-48. It was like, terrible basketball.
Yeah. Was that the game they couldn't make a free throw, I think, or something?
Yes, they kept missing them. It was just awful. Yeah, there you go. Kevin B. says, if I have to watch Virginia play offense or shoot free throws, I will throw up. That was a game I think you ended up pushing, but they missed like 12 free throws, and all they had to hit was like one, and you would have hit it. So,
Hold the team to 49 and get beat. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's really good.
Yeah. No, the answer, Curtis, is still no, because of these players don't play in the postseason if it's not for the national title. I mean, we have said this over and over. And look, the NIT, a lot of teams opted out of it as well. And it's still a problem. I mean, this is a college athletics problem. We talked about this, the opt-outs and the transfer portals. It's awful. Like, OU lost all their basketball players. Now, they aren't any good, but still they lost them, and now you got to start all over, and that's what a lot of college basketball teams have to do now.
Yeah, it's all over the country. Mm-hmm. They have got to do something. You can't keep doing this.
No.
You have no development. You can't develop anybody.
But here's the deal. It was never a problem before the portal, correct? It was never a problem before NIL, correct?
I agree.
Hey, the college football playoff. Okay, here's the deal. If we just had a national title game, it would still be a problem. Everybody would opt out, but the two teams playing for the national championship. Mm-hmm. So I get why you're lumping it in there, but if you're going to blame those three things, 98% of it is the portal in the NIL. And the other part is, well, we put a major importance on the college football playoff. But then the major importance, if we didn't have it, would just shift to the national title game. Like, I get that you're lumping it in there and you have for years, but it's not really what caused it.
We're talking about players opting out.
Yeah. Like,
it's the NFL too.
Right. Yeah.
They're afraid they'll get hurt. That's
It's 90% of it.
Yeah,
it's 50% of it because the portal is another big problem with it.
They were opting out before the portal in the NIL.
Why did this not happen in the BCS era? Do we really have to explain it? There wasn't a transfer portal.
No.
back in the BCS era, you had to sit out a year to play. You know, that's why it didn't happen as right. much. I mean, it still would happen, but it would be one or two guys that were really upset and they had to go somewhere else and they had to sit out a year. Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray. Think about that. I mean, they had to sit out a year before they played and won Heisman trophies. In the new era, if Baker Mayfield led Texas Tech to a 9-win season and he wanted to go to Oklahoma, he wouldn't play in the Alamo Bowl. It's that simple. But in the BCS era, he would have played in the Alamo Bowl because he couldn't go to Oklahoma anyway for the next year. And he had to sit out. I mean, you're taking two eras. You're going, well, it's all college football playoffs fault. And you're ignoring that the transfer portal is the reason why a lot of these guys leave.
Well, they shouldn't have this portal till right. after the bowl season is over.
Yeah, right.
That is the dumbest thing.
Yeah.
They can declare the day after the season ends. Mm-hmm. The regular season ends or the Monday after the somewhere in there. It's within a week of that. And they've got to go back to the rules where you have to sit out a year. You just I know the coach that recruits them leaves and I get that. I get it. But there's just no control of college athletics right now. It's just
there's one way to fix it. One way. You're going to have to sign some kind of contractual obligation and stay through the season. That's the only way you really fix it. Unless you're going to go back in time, which we can't, with all the new stuff and the money and the portal and the NIL and the leaving early, if you're going to pay the players, you're going to have to make some sort of contract where you can travel hit the portal at the end of your season, but only after the bowl game or whatever. Like that's about the only way you can fix it.
We'll just make the portal. You don't open the portal till the bowl season's over.
But a kid will still sit out if he's leaving. Like, why would you want?
That's true. That's
you know true. What I mean? Like, once that last season or last game of the season hits, they're leaving.
But there's a lot of seniors that are opting out because of the NFL, and they don't want to get hurt.
Right. That's another part. And I don't really know. I don't really know how you're going to stop that.
I don't know what you can do about that either.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm wondering if they sign a scholarship for that year, is it for the entire year?
No. And this is what Curtis is saying. When the academic year ends, you have to open it up. That's the rule.
So when you sign a scholarship, it's semester to semester?
Yes. Yeah. So that's why you see those portals open up.
I see.
Different times. Yeah. Yeah, but I mean it's what's weird, and Curtis, we talk about this all the time with you on the show. What's weird is I think we all three have the same thought process.
Oh, we
college
do.
Football postseason sucks.
It's something terrible.
Fierce now. It used to be magic. I loved it. Absolutely hate it now.
It's not any fun. And
it's awful. The bowls are awful. They're awful. And I used to love it. I used to watch every bowl game. And I still actually do watch a lot of them, and I hate them.
Yeah.
I don't think not having a college football playoff is going to solve anything. I think that's where we are different. I want to go back to 2007, 2008 as far as players playing and caring for sure, but I don't know that the format – I don't know that going back to the format of 2007, 2008 is going to keep opt-outs from happening in today's time. That's where I'm at with it.
Yeah, it's just a changed world. A lot of kids just don't.
Yeah.
They don't. It's changed so much. They are treated like gods in high school when they didn't used to be.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it's like at other schools, but at Oklahoma, when they come on a recruiting visit, they put them in an OU uniform They take pictures of them. They put it on Twitter that they came into OU. It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. It's just ridiculous how they treat these kids. They're not gods.
Yep.
And it should be an honor to get to go visit anywhere you want to go. I mean, it should be an honor. And they've made them up to be these godlike figures because they're trying to recruit them to get in there and play. And it's just, it's out of control.
Yep.
It's ruined it. I don't enjoy it nearly. Just like you, I don't enjoy it near like I used to.
I'm more into pro sports now than ever because it's a business and they treat it like a business. And in college, it's a business and they try to act like it's not.
Yeah. And it's because, you know, the local school here, college is D2. Mm-hmm. I'm into that. I love to go watch them. Those are
I agree.
Those are college. What am I trying to say? Student athletes.
Right. Yeah.
They're there because they love to play.
A couple of things. I agree with Curtis on this. I hate the conferences now. Oh, I don't like that at all. They don't make any sense for the most part. It's ridiculous. But again,
the rivalries are gone in a lot of places.
What's that?
The rivalries.
Oh, yeah. Well, because they made business decisions. Mm-hmm. And now they're acting like they're all about the kids, and it's not. It's about business.
Oh, God, no.
So
it's about the money. How much money can the university make? Yeah. Because the athletic program pays for everything else. That's pretty much what it is.
And to Curtis, as he said, look at Caleb Williams, all I have to say about the modern players. So, yeah, exactly. And we know for a fact people aren't really going to believe us, but this is really the truth of the Oklahoma situation with Caleb. Mm-hmm. I think the national media wanted to spin the narrative of, well, he had to go to USC. That's his guy, Lincoln Riley. That's what he wanted to do. It's not true. He went there because of money.
Yeah.
Oklahoma made him an offer that would have made him, you know, quote unquote, the richest player on Oklahoma's team. And they just laughed it off and went to USC. That's why he went. And I think more and more people need to realize it's all about the money in college athletics now, even for the players, the most part. You don't ever want to make an umbrella statement because there are kids that love where they're at and want to be there for sure. But it's all about the money. And it's not just Caleb Williams. Dylan Gabriel loves Oklahoma, loves the people of Oklahoma, really got to love Oklahoma and what it all was and the fans and everything. He left and went to Oregon, and he came back and did an interview with the people we follow at Oklahoma.
Yeah.
The kid felt he was heartbroken.
He was.
You could tell he didn't want to do it, but he got a substantially heftier paycheck.
Exactly. And he was told by the NFL.
Yeah.
He wasn't going to be a high draft pick. He wanted to go to the NFL. He did not want to play another year, but he's going to make twice the money at Oregon. And if he's smart, he's going to make enough money. He'll never have to make the NFL and make it. He doesn't need it.
And Curtis says he's talking about Caleb Williams here. He said he told Ole Miss the starting price was $2.5 million. That's just it. They would have shopped anywhere. Mm-hmm. Okay. Caleb Williams, and I really truly believe this, if Vanderbilt gave Caleb Williams $5 million, he would have went there or $10 million or whatever it would have taken. OU offered him a package similar to what Curtis said there for Ole Miss. And these main guys have people. Like, it's not really
agents. Him.
Yeah, they have agents. They have dads that are his dads.
Oh, his dad's
problem. And it's like, this is crazy. Like, you can't. We can't continue to pretend that this is amateur athletics. And until it is ran like a pro organization, you're going to have these instances where this is not going to work. It's not good. It's not a product that people are really going to like.
It's not fair to everyone because some schools are able to generate more NIL money than others. And that's just a fact.
Yeah.
They need to put some sort of a cap on it. that's the same for everybody, and leave it at that. So it is just, it's ruined it, and it's only going to get worse. The other thing with Caleb Williams, he went to L.A. That is a major market for commercials, for all kinds of stuff. And it's the other, I mean, you either go there or you go to New York. Well, they don't have a football team in New York City. So,
yeah.
It's, we talk to her blue in the face till these colleges have to start footing the bill themselves.
Yeah.
For this NIL stuff instead of these stupid idiots who are donating this money.
Yeah.
As long as the colleges aren't out anything, they don't care.
I think it's easy to make Caleb Williams like the poster boy and be like, see, he doesn't care. You know, he's a jerk because he is kind of, he just acts that way. Dylan Gabriel is probably one of the best kids I've ever followed, and he ran for the money. So I don't make it about these guys don't care anymore. It's not that. It's, Dylan Gabriel looks at it and goes, if I can make X amount of money here and it's substantially more than where I'm at, I have to do it because I'm not a pro prospect.
Right. That was the whole bottom line.
Yeah.
They told him you're like a sixth round, seventh round pick, which you're not going to make any money there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the rumors were he got $3 million.
Yeah.
At Oregon. Well, shoot. Mm-hmm. He's smart. He takes that $3 million and invests it. He doesn't have to worry about the pros. He's got enough. He's got a nice little nest egg.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at these guys. Like, I mean, the pros, we could get into how stupid they are too. Baker Mayfield's one of my favorite players. There's no way he's worth what Tampa Bay ended up paying him.
No, but it's an owner that wants to pay him that. It's a free market. They can do what they want.
Yeah,
that's the point. That's the difference, right? Like to Curtis's point here, these colleges are asking fans to donate money so they can go get players. Oklahoma begs for money all the time.
Yeah,
that's my point. It's like Tampa signed Baker Mayfield, and whether it's right or wrong, I mean, I have signed him for that. But you're right. I agree with. I'm agreeing with you there. Okay. Yeah. But what I'm saying is, Tampa didn't send out a letter to all their season ticket holders and say, hey, please donate money so we can keep our quarterback.
Exactly.
That's the difference. And until that kind of shit goes away.
Well,
here's my outlook on it. You're asking me to donate so we can go get a player.
Exactly.
Is my season ticket not enough?
That's the way I feel about it.
Is me going to a lot of your road games not enough? Buying merchandise not enough anymore? Right.
Being loyal for 25 years.
And to me, whether the reality is we need to do that to get players or not, it kind of turns you off and it kind of just says, you know what? Maybe I don't really care as much about this as I used to.
That's right. That's the way I am. Yeah. What they've done to us, Aaron, as you know, we used to get Texas tickets.
Well, yeah.
Since the NIL came out, we don't donate to the NIL. We haven't gotten Texas tickets since.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of a coincidence, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
For about 3 years in a row, what they do with the Texas tickets, the big donors get, there's like 45,000 tickets. The big donors get most of them. And if you've been a ticket holder for a long time, you get the worst seats in the place, but you get them. And we got them like 3 years in a row and got like 4 out of 5.
Yeah.
Because it's a lottery. They kind of draw it out of there, and it's based on how long you've had your tickets. Do you go to all the games? There's several things that it's based on, and we were getting them every year. As soon as the NIL came around, and I get emails all the time, would you like to donate to the NIL? And I don't even answer them because, no, I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
No Texas tickets for what, 3 years in a row now, 2 years, however long the NIL's come out, and we're not going to get them this year either. So this will be the third year. So. Mm-hmm.
And again, maybe I'll just quit going all around. Like, you know, I mean, that's where I'm at with it. And again, Kevin B's kind of right. He's like, you start giving money, you want results. Because now you're a paying customer It's more so than even just buying the tickets and the merchandise and all the shit. And again, and Curtis is right, that the merchandise available now is shit compared to what it used to be. A lot of problems there.
Yeah.
And now it's like, now I'm trying to pay for a winner and we still don't do it.
Yeah.
I would not want to be a college coach anymore because,
oh God, no. It's hard enough when before, but now you don't know on the Monday after the season ends, the regular season ends, half your roster's gone.
Yeah.
Because you got
kids
that graduate, and then you got the malcontents that don't want to be there. And then you always have surprises that pop up that you thought, I'm going to develop this kid. He had a really good freshman year, and boom, he decides, I don't want to be here either because I can get more money somewhere else. And then you got to just go out and start all over and get in the portal, which is a risk. I don't care what. They're in the portal for a reason. They're not happy.
Yep.
So you're getting somebody else's malcontents, and you just have to hope you get a good one.
Another example, we had an offensive lineman, true freshman, fantastic. He was going to be a great, great player. It's like, wow, this is going to be a three-year guy, NFL. Yeah. But, is he going to be fantastic? Mm-hmm. He left for Missouri. He left Oklahoma for Missouri, folks. And why do you think that happened, right? Yeah. So anyway, they got to fix it, and I don't know.
You know, and Saban can say all he wants. He got out of it because of this crap.
I think a lot of your older coaches are going to continue to get out.
I don't want to do this anymore because they don't need the money. They've got the money. Mm-hmm. I mean, Saban's age. Yeah, I get that. I'm around that age myself, and I get that. Mm-hmm. It is hard to keep going, and I'm sure that was part of it, but. I think he'd have kept going if he didn't have to put up all this other crap.
Yep. No, I totally agree. All right, quickly, let's do this. We got on here and we're like, I don't know. We'll talk about that for about 30 minutes, college basketball. And then we had no plans to talk about NIL today. No. But thanks a lot, Curtis.
And that's what this show's all about. So
thanks a lot, Curtis, for starting out as shit again. No, I'm kidding.
No, it's fine.
I think the thing, Chip Kelly couldn't leave a head coaching job at UCLA fast enough. And, hey, this is a guy, he's – at college, pretty good coach. You know, he was starting to kind of get UCLA going, and then it's just like, this is crazy. We can't.
I look for Dabo to get out before long. I look for Brian Kelly at LSU. Mm-hmm. You know, these guys are older guys.
Yeah.
I just think they're going to say, you know what? I'm done.
I think the poster boy for head coaches now is like a Dan Lanning type. Right.
Young.
He's real rah-rah. He understands what it's going to take NIL wise. He went to a place that has a lot of money. Like those are the guys that are going to be the new era guys. Probably. Your Sabins are done and gone.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. I think so too.
Okay. Well, we've talked and talked and talked. All right. Let's finish it up with this. I've got future odds for NBA and NHL. We've got like 5 minutes here. We can do this. Good. So the future odds right now have the Boston Celtics at plus 170. So they are big time favorites. The Nuggets are plus 350 to repeat. And then it goes to plus 750 for the Clippers and the Bucks. And then all the way to the Oklahoma City Thunder at plus 1400. I do not follow the NBA at all. So you're going to have to tell me, who should we bet in this pool?
Well, Boston's head and shoulders above everybody right now. They are.
But really, will they actually win it is the question.
I don't know. They're beating everybody. Mm-hmm. They're like 59-16. That's pretty good. Mm-hmm. And they're very consistent. They would be my pick to win it. You look at the East, the Bucks are always dangerous, but they got beat to the Wizards last night. The Wizards beat them. I mean, I know that happens, but that's a bad loss. I don't think there's anybody else in the East. I don't think anybody's beaten Boston. I just don't. The East, you know, the second best team is Milwaukee. And they're, like I said, they're dangerous. I just don't think they're good enough. So I don't see anybody beating Boston out of the East. On the West is a whole different story. You got Denver, Oklahoma City, Minnesota battling to win the division. They're all a half a game apart. and they just switch each night. One of them's first, and one of them's third, one of them's second, or one of them's first, and two of them's tied for second. It's every mm-hmm. night.
Yep.
If I had to pick one, I would pick Denver to win it. I just think they're better overall. OKC has got to shoot the ball. They got to hit the three ball. If they don't, they get beat. And that's hard to pick a team because you're going to have a night when you don't shoot very well. And I just don't think Oklahoma City's they're very fun to watch, and they're good. I don't think they're physical enough. I just think somebody will manhandle them. Minnesota's dangerous. You got to look at a team, and they got to get on a roll, a team like Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
In a playoffs with those veteran players, if they can get them healthy, can they do it? You know, age is going to be a problem for them. And right now, they're in a play-in game. They're not even in the top six, but they're close. I don't like the Clippers. I wouldn't bet a nickel on the Clippers. There's just no way. If you bet them at plus 750, you might as well forget it. They're not mm-hmm. going to do it. They'll get beat somewhere. Dallas is playing great. I don't think the Lakers are too old. They're playing really well. If I was going to make a bet, I plus 170 on the Celtics is not bad. That's plus money on a team that's head and shoulders above everybody else. Probably right. If I was going to pick somebody, I'd go Denver at plus 350.
While you were talking, Kevin B said he dislocated his shoulder last man. Night. Be careful. Be very careful with it. Hopefully it's nothing too serious. But yeah, when that shoulder gets hurt, you can't do your normal stuff. There's a lot of stuff that you're like, oh no, I can't move it well enough to do it. So
your shoulder, okay, your neck, anything up in that area, man, you hurt it. You just hurt it anytime you move.
So you did it. He did it playing hockey. Okay. Well, listen, I don't know how old you are, but you're probably too old to be playing hockey is what that tells you. That tells me. I don't know. You may be young. Yeah. If you are, that's fine. It was her birthday. She actually was happy to. So on your fiance's birthday, you're out playing hockey and she has to pop your shoulder in a place. And you're also getting married on Belmont Day at Saratoga. So Kevin, I don't know that it's going to work out, Betty. I just don't.
Oh, wait a minute. It was his birthday, her birthday.
It was her birthday.
And he's playing hockey?
And he's playing hockey.
Well, that's okay. That's a good thing.
Well, but I don't know.
I don't either. I can't make any comments right now.
Well, that's fair. That's more than fair.
Yeah, don't, we'll leave it you don't want any. You don't want any advice from me on that subject at this time.
We'll leave it at that, but that's true.
Yeah, you guys can dream up whatever you want, but don't take any advice on anything that has to do with women from me at this
point. Okay, all right. We'll go to hockey here real quick since Kevin's talking hockey, and then we'll get out of here. Oh, Dennis, I'll answer your kind of question last, but Keeneland Saturday, absolutely. There's going to be a meetup on Saturday. You bet. I can't wait. Curtis, we haven't met you yet, so that'll be fun.
Yeah, that'll be good.
We'll be there Friday and Saturday. So we will we'll definitely meet up on Saturday. I think you said you weren't going to be there Friday, so we'll meet you on Saturday for sure.
Yeah, I'm going to look at you too, but I haven't got enough money to drive across the street at the moment. So,
okay. Let's talk Stanley Cup playoffs real quick here.
This is your favorite.
The Hurricanes are the favorite at plus 650. I wouldn't do it.
No.
That's still not a horrible price, but it shows you how wide open it is. Plus,
it's wide open. Yeah.
Panthers plus 700. I got the Avalanche a little bit better price a few weeks ago. They're plus 800 right now. Dallas 850. Edmonton 850. Rangers plus 900. Vegas, that's a little too. They should be higher. A plus 1100 and so on. You get the Bruins right now plus 1300. Yeah, I don't think that's a bad play whatsoever. Let's not forget the Bruins were heavy favorites last year. That's value this year. I've got the Avalanche already at plus 1,100. I'm going to play a little bit of Bruins plus 1,300, and I'm going to go down here and play Nashville at plus 4,000. I think the way they're playing, I think they're very interesting. I think it's too big of a number. So those are teams I'm kind of looking at now. I think the Predators will be tough in these playoffs. I think Boston is going to be tough, and I've already got the Avalanche. Anything you're interested in there?
Do you think there's going to be a surprise come out of this somehow? Because
yeah,
this is the toughest to try to pick somebody that I remember.
I'm going to tell you right now. I'm going to tell you right now. The favorites, Carolina plus 650 versus the Predators plus 4,000. There is no difference in those two teams. Very little difference. That could easily be a 7-game series.
Well, let me switch something here. You go to the East, mm-hmm. and then we'll do the West as well. I mean, let me get this real quick. And you look at potential first round matchups right now.
Yeah, I'll pull it up on the screen here as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead and do that. You better add it to me. But you look at potential. By the way, Kevin, I like Dallas too. Dallas is who I would pick at the 850. That would be my number one.
Yeah, I don't like their price, but I like their team a ton. And I can see myself, I'm gonna be betting Dallas during the playoffs a ton, but
yeah,
I don't want them on a future wager at plus 850. So you talk about these East matchups. I'll just read off what they would be today. Okay. Exactly. The Rangers would take on the Capitals, which
they should win that one. That's
yes.
But the Capitals are so dangerous, but I don't think they can beat them in a series. And
Carolina would take on the Flyers. I think Carolina's a better team.
Got a feeling the Flyers may not be in there.
I agree with that. Now you go to the other side. Boston would take on Tampa. Come on.
Tampa could beat them.
They could. I mean, it's going to be a great series.
Yeah.
The Panthers would take on the Leafs.
Toss up.
The Leafs have problems in the playoffs, but that'd be a great series.
Yeah, and I don't think they would be favored, and that would help them.
But, I mean, you look at the Rangers-Hurricanes in the second round. That's a total coin flip. Total.
Total.
And the Bruins or the Lightning against the Panthers or the Leafs, another coin flip.
Totally is.
Yeah. So you look at the East.
Go down to the West, it's probably the same.
I would think the West maybe even more so. So let's see. You'd have Dallas and Los Angeles. Dallas and Los Angeles the first round. I know we're high on Dallas, but I'm not going to call it a coin flip, but that will not be a blowout series. No way.
Okay.
Colorado and Winnipeg, I think Winnipeg's in some trouble. They're not looking good at all.
They're not playing very well, no.
And then on the other side, you'd have Vancouver matching up against Nashville.
Cross up.
I think Nashville will beat them. And then you've got... not
playing as well either.
And then you've got Edmonton and Vegas, which would just be must-see hockey. Unbelievable. Yeah. Total toss-up.
Yeah.
But again, after you get through the first round, maybe Winnipeg can't match up. They've really struggled lately. But after that, Dallas versus Colorado or, you know, Vancouver versus Edmonton, Vegas versus, you know, the Predators, Vegas versus Canucks. It's going to be insane.
It's going to be fantastic hockey.
Yeah.
Because these teams are all real. Most of them that are in the playoff hunt are really good. Because there's some teams that are out of it just a little bit. That are really good as well. So
yeah.
You got a Detroit team that's exciting that is slightly out of it right now.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't call the Blues real good, but they're right. They're not out of it.
I mean, the Blues still have an outside chance. They're not going to make it, they're a team that if the Kings stumble, I think the Blues are steady enough that they'll get in that last spot. Now, look, if it's St. Louis and Dallas, forget it. I mean, the Blues have no business being in the playoffs.
No, they don't.
They've overachieved, really.
Yes, they have.
Yeah. Let's see. I had one other point. Oh, well, any final thoughts on this before we get out of here? And I'm going to get to Dennis's comment.
I would take Dallas as my pick. And as a future
bet.
Mm-hmm. I didn't really see. What was let's see.
Who else are you interested
in? I'd probably throw some money on the Bruins at 1,300.
I think the price is there. I think the price is there. Yeah.
You know what, though? I probably would go Rangers at 900. I know that's not great, but they're pretty steady.
I don't believe in the Rangers winning the whole thing. I definitely think they're going to make some noise, though.
Yeah.
I just
– it's kind of like Dallas. Dallas might be a great regular season team that just doesn't quite have enough in the playoffs. We see that a lot sometimes.
That would surprise me, but we do see it a ton, and you get surprised all the time in these playoffs. Yeah. Yeah. But like I said, I'll take Flyers on Nashville and Boston. I've already got one on Colorado, and we'll see how it shapes up. That's a couple of weeks away. That's going to be a lot of fun. All right. Well, before we get out of here, Dennis wanted to talk a little horse racing, and this is literally will be knee-jerk reactions to at least two of these. Knee-jerk reactions, the Bluegrass, the San Diego Derby, and the Wood, obviously all three going to be Saturday. Bluegrass has been out now for over a day, so I've got a lot more, cognitive thoughts on that. I think it's a good race. I think the pace is going to make that race. I believe if we get a very hot pace in that race, I think Sierra Leone will win. And I think if Dornoch can work it out where he doesn't have to be chasing a hot pace or be pressed, then I think he's going to win. I'm not confident saying, well, it's a two horse race to move on. Cause I do think there's some sneaky ones, but the more you kind of dive into it and look at the numbers, it really should be Dornoch and Sierra Leone, and we'll just see who's better, and pace will probably dictate that. Santa Anita Derby. I don't really know why you want me to say Bob Baffert should win it. You know, I don't think it's going to have much. I don't think Stronghold's good enough to beat the Baffert horse Imagination. The Wood is sneaky to me. Tuscan Sky, I've been excited about him. Deterministic, I've been excited about him. You know, there's some other horses in there as well that are interesting. Resilience, I think, is kind of interesting. I think that race has the potential to be pretty good, but I also wouldn't be shocked if you go, well, it wasn't great. You know, I think that's a 50-50 type race. So that's kind of my quick comments on it now. All night, basically tonight, I'm going to be working on these races right when we get off the air. Blinkers off early tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Central, and then heading to Kentucky. So a lot more to say about that tomorrow night, or tomorrow morning, I should say. I'm pretty much through the Keeneland card, and it's something. It's a really competitive card is how I would describe it. So anyway, you probably haven't looked at much yet.
I've looked at the Bluegrass, and that's all. Yeah. I haven't had time to get to the other. Going to do that tonight as well. So,
yep. We got to get to work on that and get that betting Bible to you. Probably out Thursday evening, Friday morning for the betting Bible. We'll let you know just as soon as it's out. All right. Any final thoughts before we get off here?
Somebody said Magic's doing solo hosting the. No, I'll be on this weekend.
So he will be doing. Tomorrow he'll be by himself. Friday he'll be by himself. Saturday Papa Dude will be there, and then Sunday Magic can't be there. So I think Magic's going to record a Sunday show Saturday and then post it up on Sunday. So if you haven't listened to Slim, Dad Rap is out. So we'll see what happens with Dad Rap. I think his first music video got about 5,000 views on YouTube. So good start. Good start for the Dad Rap there. So he's doing good. Shout out to living that dad life, as Slim says. So, all right. Well, we're gonna get off here now. We'll be back. Check out Blinkers off tomorrow morning. Check out Magic and then Papa Dude on the weekend for dudes who bet daily. I will not be on this week. So everybody enjoy that show, and we'll see you right back here tomorrow for Blinkers Off. See you guys.
This is Dudes Who Bet Sports.